You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
May the written word and the spoken word point us to the living word, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, that was a very long gospel reading. One of the longest in the lectionary, I believe. But you'll have gathered it's a drama that has to be heard altogether or not at all. And you might be thinking as you hear that reading, we're in Lent leading up to the death of Jesus. So why are we hearing a passage which is all about resurrection and has as its center Jesus' stunning claim, I am the resurrection and the life? Is that not about Easter, what comes after Lent? Well, there is a reason for hearing this extraordinary text today. In the sequence of John's Gospel, this story is placed just before Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, which we celebrate next week on Palm Sunday. More than that, John, which is the only gospel which recounts this Lazarus story, indicates that it was because of the fame and controversy of this raising of Lazarus that the crowds came out to greet Jesus on his entry into Jerusalem, while the chief priests decided that Jesus was just too popular and too troublesome to be allowed to carry on. A man who does signs like this will raise such excitable crowds, they argue, that the Romans will intervene to stamp this out, and the whole nation will be punished. So one man must die for the nation. So there is a connection to the passion story in this narrative, but there's another kind of connection as well. Jesus here confronts death in the death of Lazarus. And you'll have noticed that his mind and his spirit were greatly disturbed. That points forward to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus confronts the prospect of his own death, and his mind is greatly troubled. Our story today anticipates and foreshadows the great conflict with death, that is the story of the death and resurrection of Jesus. It prepares us for the central drama to come. It makes us think more deeply about how Jesus comes face to face with death and how he is able to break the power of death for Lazarus, for himself, and for us all. Up until now in the Gospel of John, Jesus has fed the 5,000, he's healed the disabled, he's opened the eyes of the blind. But this is the first time he has encountered and confronted death. John's Gospel, as you may know, organizes the first half of the Gospel around a sequence of signs. And this is the climax, the sign to top all signs. Like a good storyteller, John gets us to the heart of the story slowly. At first, Jesus is at some distance from Bethany, where Lazarus lived with his sisters, Mary and Martha. Then he comes closer, and first Martha and then Mary come out to meet him. The conversation is all about Lazarus, death and life, but it's only when we actually get to the tomb of Lazarus that things, as it were, get real and decisive. The closer Jesus gets, the more the stakes are raised. And this is important for us today, the closer Jesus gets to death, the more he is upset, disturbed, troubled. When Mary breaks down in tears and the crowd around her weep in sympathy, Jesus was greatly moved in his spirit and deeply troubled. And when they bid him come and see the tomb for himself, Jesus wept. Jesus enters here fully into our fear and our grief in the face of death. He doesn't just pretend to. He really feels what we feel. This is not a God who strides across the earth, who only seems to be human. This is the Word made flesh. However much we have faith, death disturbs us in its cruelty and in its loss. Jesus has lost a friend. Mary and Martha have lost a brother. And that really, really hurts. My brother, Andrew, died last summer, and it was not a good death. He was paralyzed and destroyed by ALS. I'm sure that you too have had bitter experiences of death with the loss of those you've loved dearly and loved long. Jesus wept. And at Gethsemane, when he faced the prospect of his own death, he was deeply troubled, bathed in sweat, in fear. There's something brutally down to earth and honest, isn't there, in this Lazarus story? Don't open the tomb, Jesus. He's been dead 4 days. His body is decaying. It will stink. John's gospel is full of these visceral moments of sight, touch, and smell. In the very next story, Mary will anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Jesus enters totally, fully into the human experience, touch, sight, smell, all the realities of our lives. And that means that he also enters fully into the way we are faced with the hard reality of death. If you were ashed on Ash Wednesday, you'll know the words, dust you are, and to dust you will return. Jesus is as vulnerable as we are vulnerable, as embodied as we are embodied. And he will go all the way into the pain, the humiliation, the torture, and the death of the cross, all the way with us and for us. So here he stands outside Lazarus's tomb, deeply troubled. Troubled for Lazarus, troubled for Mary, troubled for Martha, troubled for himself, troubled for us. But Jesus is also uniquely tethered to the Father. As he stands outside Lazarus's tomb, face to face with the brutal reality of death, Jesus turns to the Father. Father, I thank you that you've heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus is at one with God, and he wants us to know that it's only because of this unique oneness that he's able to do what he's about to do. As John says at the start of his gospel, he is the Word that is God and was with God, and in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. So death, in the form of Lazarus' death, is here confronted by the only thing that can possibly overcome it, the life of God. For us, death is the black hole. the end, the locked door, the room without escape. There is no way out. The stone shuts up the grave. Unless there is someone not ourselves, unless there is someone not another human being, nor another created thing, bound as we all are to decay, unless there is some other, someone with the power of life greater than death, who can stand outside the grave and bellow, "Lazarus, come out." In the UK, where I come from, nearly all funerals are now entirely secular affairs. There is no involvement by priest or church, but a professional, non-religious funeral officiant or celebrant takes a kind of memorial service with the emphasis on celebrating the life of the person who has died. The favorite piece of music is Frank Sinatra's "I Did It My Way." There's a kind of brutal honesty about that for a people with no faith. We live, we die, and the best we can do is celebrate the good things in life and hope for what we call a good death. There's nothing to hope for beyond. We keep death at bay as long as we can, and then it closes the show, and there's nothing more to be said. In fact, the less we say about it, the better. There's therefore now something startling, something unexpected, something beyond the imaginable, to have here a sign, a trace, a whisper, that there is in Jesus a power of life stronger than death. Even so, there is nothing glib or easy about it. Jesus doesn't waltz in without emotion and declare, "Not a problem, I'll just raise him from the dead." He feels with us the full force, the full terror, the full finality of death. We sense Mary and Martha here in this story are like us, floundering about, not knowing quite what to say or what to believe. They're struggling for words, not just because of their grief, but also because they don't quite know what to believe about Jesus and how his power is greater than death. We can sympathize with them. As we face our own mortality, there's probably in most of us a bit of, "I believe, help my unbelief." We know that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. But is that really so? And really so for me? Sometimes we need other people to hold on to that truth for us. And sometimes the only thing to say is, "I'm not sure I can hold on to Jesus, but I know he holds on to me." In the midst of our fears, our sorrows, the sheer wretchedness of death, we know from this story this morning that Jesus is right there with us. He also weeps. And we will accompany him in the next 2 weeks on his journey into Jerusalem, his torment in Gethsemane, his rigged trials, his brutal beatings, his agonizing crucifixion, until the moment when he breathes his last, as we will one day breathe our last. But there's a rumor, a story, a whisper that we can't quite believe and yet also do believe. that the love of Jesus is stronger than death. That in him was life, and life not just for himself, but for the world, even for us. That nothing, literally nothing, can separate us from the love of God in Christ. That rumor just got a little louder today, but we'll have to wait till Easter morning to see if that really can be true. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.